Hello, and welcome to EXAM, KBIA's look into education issues in Mid-Missouri. I'm Hope Kerwin. Later on in the show, we'll hear how small grants awarded to teachers in Columbia Public Schools can make a big difference in the classroom. But first, we conclude our three-part series called A Teachable Moment, which looks at how events in Ferguson are being talked about in St. Louis area classrooms and schools. St. Louis County Prosecuting Attorney Bob McCullough has said that a grand jury could decide this month if Ferguson Police Officer Darren Wilson will face charges for fatally shooting Michael Brown. And there are concerns about what the reaction will be to the grand jury's decision. It's against this backdrop that the youngest daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is bringing her father's message of nonviolence to students living close to where mass protests broke out this past August. St. Louis Public Radio's Tim Lloyd has the story.
Inside the library at Riverview Gardens High School in North St. Louis County, students have formed small groups. For many of the kids here, peaceful demonstrations and at times violent clashes between police and protesters weren't just on TV. They were down the street, around the corner, or in their backyard. On this day, they're working on the final exercise in a three-day training course on nonviolence that was put together by the King Center. Facilitators have just asked students to talk about what they think the reaction will be if Ferguson Police Officer Darren Wilson is not indicted for fatally shooting Michael Brown. Here's what Elantra Jackson had to say.
If, like, they don't indict him, I'm not going to lie and say that nothing's going to, like, everybody's just going to be like, oh, okay, because there's going to be some damage done to the city.
Just to be clear, Jackson says she has no intention of taking part in any violence or property damage. But she lives close to where things got heated on West Floor since a couple of months ago, and what might happen next has her concerned. This takes us to the second part of the assignment. Based on their training, students are asked what the response should be. Here's Jackson and her classmate, Donovan Davis, who's on the microphone giving their group's response to the 60 students taking part in the training.
Like a nonviolent movement, what would we do together, all of us?
A peaceable assembly. That's what my group agreed on. We would have a peaceable assembly.
This is the answer Bernice King is looking for.
The emotion cannot take over. The impulsiveness cannot take over because this is a discipline.
And the stakes are high. This is the fourth time the youngest daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has visited the school since late August. Each time she's brought her father's message of nonviolence. King says they normally deliver this training during a summer program at the King Center in Atlanta. But after mass protests in August, she decided it couldn't wait.
Most of the training that we usually do is when there's nothing going on, kind of preparing people, hopefully, for if anything ever happens, that they will be there to preempt some things.
King says they aren't just focused on the students in this room. She says each of the 60 teenagers in the training is a potential ambassador for nonviolence.
You know, they are the ones that are going to determine whether this thing goes in the right direction or the wrong direction.
King says it's all right if young people are angry about systems that, she says, continue to oppress minorities.
I mean, my father was angry. We call it righteous indignation. But he channeled that anger into something positive and constructive. More importantly, you know, he never saw people as an enemy. You know, he always felt like the other person could be transformed.
And in a protest movement driven by young people, it's the students in this room who are most likely to feel the effects and could help determine the tone of the reaction to the grand jury's decision. I'm Tim Lloyd, St. Louis Public Radio.
Every year, teachers receive a variety of small grants from various organizations. While these awards aren't used for buying classroom essentials, KBIA's Ashley Reese reports on how Columbia teachers are using grants to create student engagement and excitement about learning.
Good morning, good morning.
The students in Mrs. Neal's class are all smiles as they sit on the music-themed rug, merrily strumming their ukuleles while the rest of the class sings along. The 10 ukuleles were purchased through a $625 grant by the Links of Learning program. The program awarded almost $99,000 to Columbia area teachers this year. Morgan Neal is the teacher at Alpha Heart Lewis Elementary in Columbia. She applied for the grant that provided these instruments last year and was just awarded a second grant for 10 more
ukuleles.
We're
waiting on those to come, and the students ask me every day if they are here yet.
The extra grant will allow Neal to finally have a classroom set. something her students can't seem to wait for.
So finally we can have our own ones and I don't have to share.
Neil said the money she receives from grants isn't used for classroom essentials, but for those extra little things that make the kids that much more excited about learning. She says the grants allow her and her fellow teachers to provide those gifts to student learning without having to dig into their own pockets, something that the district typically frowns upon.
And this is an opportunity for me to provide some things that my students might not otherwise have a chance to use in the classroom if I didn't get that little extra bit of cash to set aside.
Over at Benton Elementary School, a group of girls is huddled on another rug, this time piecing together a Lego robot while scrolling through directions on the STEM Lab smart board. The girls are one of Benton's four Lego robotics teams. Like the ukuleles, the equipment required for these Lego robots was provided through small grant. Heather McCullough is a STEM specialist at Benton. She's the recipient of this $700 Lego robotics grant. Over the years, she says she's written and received several similar grants. She says grants have paid for the school's outdoor greenhouse and math garden, as well as books, science technology sensors that connect to iPads, and the Lego robotics teams.
I think it provides them some of those extra materials, extra supplies, extra projects that kind of expand on what they're learning, but aren't necessarily incorporated in your traditional curriculum.
The Lego robotics team itself helps the students expand and develop their problem-solving skills and apply the math and science concepts they're learning in class in a more exciting and engaging way. When I asked the students about it, they also mentioned they've learned skills such as programming that they wouldn't have learned elsewhere. McCullough says she believes these extras provided through small grants help keep students interested in school. The grants at Benton haven't just helped with Lego robotics, but with a lot of the clubs the school offers.
So all of our outside areas, most of our hands-on materials that we use to supplement what's in the classroom have been purchased through grants.
McCullough says she knows grant writing can be overwhelming to new teachers, but she encourages everyone to apply for these small grants if there's any way they think it will help better their students' learning experiences. Even though they may be small in sum, the grants awarded to teachers through programs such as Links of Learning really can make a big difference. Ashley Reese, KBIA News.
For KBIA's Exam, I'm Hope Kerwin. Thanks for listening.